Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Dr. Flojan Kofer. She is the Senior Director of Policy for Public Health Advocates. Good morning, Dr. Kofer.
Good morning.
Well, it seems like the COVID-19 pandemic is lasting a lot longer than it should. We're all hoping to get back to what's going to be our new normal, and one way to do that is to get vaccinated. So let's start there. How do vaccines work?
Vaccines work in a really interesting way. They teach our immune systems how to recognize and fight the virus that causes COVID-19. And so basically what it does is it stimulates your immune system to produce what we call antibodies. And antibodies are essentially the body's security system, and they fight off the real disease. And so it typically takes a few weeks for there to be enough antibodies to fight off and offer you some protection against the virus. And so that developed immunity then allows you to fight it off naturally if you encounter the virus in the future. But the vaccine does not contain any live coronavirus, so it can't actually give you COVID-19.
Yeah, that was my next question too. And there's a lot of controversy about this. How safe are COVID-19 vaccines?
That's a really great question. At this point now, millions of people in the United States have already received the COVID-19 vaccines, and they've undergone really intensive safety monitoring, the most intensive actually in U.S. history, to establish that they are safe for people to use. And so all of the COVID vaccines have been authorized by the FDA, and they've been shown to be safe and effective in the clinical trials. And so they were authorized only after they were found that they basically make it less likely for you to get COVID-19. And so they are under what we call an emergency use authorization, which means that getting the vaccine was proven to be important because there is something that's threatening our health and safety, and that this vaccine is safe to distribute to the population even before it's fully approved by the FDA, which we're anticipating is going to happen in the next month or two.
A lot of people are nervous about the side effects. Do I need to worry about side effects from the vaccine?
There are side effects from the vaccine, but most of the side effects are relatively mild from the vaccination. And some people don't even have any side effects. So yes, there are side effects, but no, you don't necessarily have to worry about them. Some of the side effects that are kind of normal signs that you're building immunity are that your arm may hurt where you got the shot, or you may have redness or swelling. You may even be tired or have a headache or some muscle pain. Sometimes there's chills and fever or nausea. And so they may be extensive enough that they affect your ability to do your daily activities, but they only last usually a few days. They are a sign that your body is building up protection. And so you can think of it as a way to know that you really did get the vaccine and that it's working properly in your body.
That was what I had for both of my shots. Just a little bit of a sore arm, but that was it. And I was thrilled to get the shot finally.
It can feel relieving, certainly.
Now, what if I have a pre-existing medical condition? Can I still get the vaccine?
Yes. People with underlying medical conditions can receive the COVID vaccines, provided that you haven't had any sort of severe allergic reaction to one of the previous vaccines or any of the ingredients. And so your healthcare provider will ask those questions about, have you ever had, or may even know from your medical record that you have had an allergic reaction. And that would be one of the only reasons why you might not be able to get the vaccine. But it is important for people to consider, especially if you have underlying conditions, because that means that you may be at increased risk of having severe illness from the virus if you contract it. And so you should definitely consult your healthcare provider if you have individual concerns and make sure that you understand what the risks are and also what the benefits are of vaccine for you, especially if you have underlying medical conditions.
How long after my final dose until I'm fully vaccinated and starting to build that immunity?
That's a great question. Many people are wondering, you know, if I get two shots, am I fully protected after the first one? Is the second one just to help me out? But full protection actually from the vaccine occurs about 2 weeks after the second vaccine dose. What that means is that if you are getting a two-shot course, that the first shot is helpful, but you're not fully immunized until you've gotten the second shot and then 2 weeks after that second shot. If you're getting a one-shot dose, then it's just 2 weeks after the first shot.
And of course, getting the shot is going to make me run faster and jump higher, right?
We wish.
Darn it. All right. Why is it important for me to get vaccinated, Dr. Cofer?
Well, vaccines are really important because they can help to save your life. The vaccine is really effective at preventing death and serious illness from COVID-19. It also has the ability to help us to stay vigilant against variants. Variants are basically the ways in which viruses mutate over time. That means that if that occurs and you are vaccinated, and so are the people in your immediate circle, your friends and family, it really makes it so that everybody is safer because it allows us to be able to have more protection and a less likelihood that the virus is going to continue to spread and also to make people very sick. And that's part of the way the vaccine works is that it helps to reduce the transmission of the virus. It also helps to make sure that you don't get as sick as you would be if you do happen to contract the virus and you're vaccinated.
Right. Now, this is an important one. I know a lot of friends who've already had COVID. If I've had COVID, do I still need to get vaccinated?
Yes. You can still get COVID even if you've previously had it. And especially with the Delta variant, which is the common strain that is transmitting right now, it accounts for the majority of the cases that we're experiencing. And it's far more contagious and it spreads a lot faster than the previous variants, which is leading more people who are unvaccinated to be in the hospital and to experience illness. And so getting vaccinated is one of the ways that we can help to stop the transmission of Delta variant and stop it from making so many people so sick so quickly.
I know this is kind of a simple question, but so important. How does everyone getting vaccinated in the pandemic?
That's a great question. Vaccines are one of our most powerful tools against the pandemic. And when enough people become vaccinated, it makes it so that the virus doesn't spread as quickly through our population, and it also doesn't make people as sick. And so those are the two things that we're really concerned about, is overwhelming our healthcare system and making a lot of people very sick and also spreading this to a lot of people. And so essentially, it means that the more people who are vaccinated, the less likely the virus will spread or will mutate and come up with new variants that could potentially be more dangerous. So we essentially stop it from growing and getting worse. And so vaccines can really help us to put an end to the widespread transmission of COVID that will allow us to be able to stay safe and stay healthy and hopefully resume some of the activities that we haven't been able to do because we're trying to all stay safe and healthy.
Wearing a mask is no fun. We know that. But why is it so important for us to start wearing masks again?
Well, yes. Wearing a mask, it can be a fashion accessory, though. I've seen some really nice looking ones
Absolutely.
That are sharing messages and match outfits. And so there is a way to really glam up your mask. But I do agree that there are lots of activities that we would much prefer to be able to do without a mask. But wearing a face covering, especially when you're indoors or in crowded areas, helps to stop the spread of COVID-19 and its variants. The idea behind it is that when you're wearing the mask, you are less likely to share, you're containing essentially the droplets that come out every time you speak and breathe, and you're keeping them to yourself. And so I know we have the saying of sharing means caring, but when it comes to our respiratory droplets, that's not actually caring. It is a way that if we are infected, we can transmit the virus to other people. To reduce the risk, it's really helpful if, regardless of your vaccination status, so even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a face covering in indoor and or crowded public settings. If you're unvaccinated, you're actually required to wear a face covering in indoor settings. And in many instances, that's starting to change throughout California, that some places are just requiring them in all individuals. We strongly recommend that everybody wear a face covering when you're in indoor and or public and crowded areas. There are different types of masks, though. And so what's called an N95 mask provides the highest level of protection from COVID-19. But honestly, any mask helps to reduce the transmission, especially those that have multiple cloth layers that cover your mouth and nose. An important note that if you are wearing your mask, but you only have it covering your mouth and not your nose, those droplets come out of your nose as well. So please wear your mask and allow it to cover both your nose and mouth for it to be most effective.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Why was that paused?
That's a really good question. And I know that probably scared a lot of people. So it's important for us to explain what happened. So in April, the CDC and the FDA recommended a temporary pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine out of an abundance of caution. And California followed that recommendation. Of the millions of doses administered, there were just a handful of reported cases of an extremely rare but severe type of blood clot that was seen in people who had low levels of blood platelets. And so the pause was done out of an abundance of caution, and it really demonstrated how closely we were paying attention to the safety monitoring of the vaccine, that we were able to detect such a small number of possible rare but bad outcomes, so what we call adverse events. And then we were also able to identify them as serious events and then be able to talk about who might be at risk so we could make sure that people who had those risk factors were not going to get that vaccine. And so essentially what that was a sign of is that the systems are working as intended to protect us and make sure that we understand as new information comes along and can respond to it. After we determined who was at risk for those very serious outcomes of the blood clot, clinics were able to resume administering the vaccine as long as they had the appropriate materials to be able to explain to people who should avoid getting that vaccine because of the risks and who it may be beneficial for. The pause really didn't impact California in terms of the administration efforts. That is where we are right now. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is still being provided.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Dr. Flojan Kofer. The website, myturn.ca.gov, or you can call the COVID-19 hotline, 833-422-4255. Now, Dr. Kofer, why should I vaccinate my child if cases are low and children aren't being severely impacted by COVID-19?
Well, first, I want to recognize the fact that children especially have really been impacted by this pandemic. We've asked them to put some of the major and important events in their lives on hold, right? They haven't been able to attend birthday parties and graduations. They have not been able to see and enjoy their friends in the same way. And it really has taken a toll on them. Part of what we're talking about now is that they have the opportunity, especially those that are over the age of 12, to be able to be vaccinated and to be able to be protected from the virus. And so the more vaccinations that we get into people, especially those who are eligible, the more likely we are to be able to stop the spread and shrink the pool of people who are really vulnerable to getting not just sick, but really seriously sick from COVID-19. By allowing 12-year-olds to become vaccinated, families can be safer overall because we're often living with people of various ages. And so as we want to start thinking about going to more events and resuming some of our normal activities and going back to school and playing sports and allowing our kids to be able to spend time with their friends and have sleepovers and do things, the vaccine can be an important part of protecting children from that. And so that's part of the reason why, even though the cases in children have been low and they're not as severely impacted, it can be very helpful in helping with the overall transmission. Also, what we know is with the Delta variant, we are seeing an uptick in the cases in children. And so while they have been low, that may not always be the case. And as we previously mentioned, when it comes to variants, if we can stop the transmission, we also will hopefully prevent the development of new variants that may be more severe in children and may affect children more. And so that's part of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to preempt and prevent the possibility of a future variant that may be more serious than the ones we've experienced thus far.
What's the best way to get my teen signed up to get vaccinated?
Parents and guardians can check for vaccine availability, and they can book an appointment through MyTurn or call California's COVID-19 hotline. And the number for that is 1-833-422-4255. You can also call your family doctor or a local community health clinic or the public health office in your county for more information.
What kind of documentation is involved?
For children aged 12 to 17, they will need the consent of a parent or legal guardian to be vaccinated. And so you should check with your vaccine provider for any forms for consent, including in-person consent. You may also have to sign a written note, or you could even do a phone call with verbal consent, but you'll want to check with the place where you're going to get the vaccination to find out.
A lot of people are wondering right now, are the vaccines safe for 12 to 15-year-olds?
similar to the trials that took place with adults over 18, and some of those included adults 16 to 18 in the initial trials. There was also then a trial that was extended to youth ages 12 to 15. And so the vaccines were only provided under that emergency use authorization again after they were determined to be safe and highly effective in the protection of severe illness and hospitalization and death for kids in that age range of 12 to 15. That was the only time that that was then approved. There's actually what's called the Western States Scientific Safety Review Work Group, and they convened immediately after the CDC's review and the FDA authorization and made their additional recommendation later. And so this vaccine is now being administered to kids who are 12 to 17. And so it's been seen as being safe for them based on the clinical trial data that were administered prior to it becoming widely available.
Have you seen any side effects in adolescents?
The side effects, as we mentioned with adults, are very similar in young people. That includes like a sore arm and fever and fatigue, chills, headache, and nausea. And yes, some people experience more symptoms than others, but there also are a pretty hefty number of people who don't have any symptoms. It's just really important to recognize that similar to any other vaccine, most of the mild symptoms are normal. And they're, again, a sign that the body is building immunity. It's important for us to compare that to the symptoms of COVID, which are far more extreme than the mild symptoms that most people experience, if they do even experience symptoms with the vaccine. It's also important just to be reminded that you may have a different level of symptom for each shot. So if you're getting a 2-shot dose, you definitely need to return for the second one, and that you may not experience the same level of symptoms after the second that you did with the first, or vice versa.
Do the vaccines have the same effectiveness in youth as they do in adults?
The trials demonstrated that the vaccine is safe and that it is similarly effective in protecting against severe illness, hospitalization, and death in those who are under 18. So yes, the vaccines are very similar in effectiveness in young people as they are in the adult population. We're also continuing to monitor those who are vaccinated and the cases of the virus, including the new variants, just to make sure that the vaccines are staying effective. And so far, they have been proven to remain effective, but we're on an ongoing basis continuing to monitor them to make sure that that is still true.
Well, I know, doctor, this is one thing that's been making some people nervous. How will my information be used once I get a vaccine?
To be clear, California law strictly limits how personal information about those who are vaccinated can be shared. California did negotiate with the federal government to limit the required data sharing to only information that will not allow an individual to be identified. There may be some demographic data that are shared about you, but it will not be enough where someone could come back and say, I know that that's you because of what was shared.
Well, I'm sold. Where do I go to sign up for the vaccine?
Anyone who would like to book an appointment for a vaccine can go to myturn.ca.gov or call the COVID hotline at 833-422-4255. As part of the state's efforts to make sure we're equitably and efficiently distributing vaccines, the website includes multiple languages, which include Arabic, Armenian, Chinese, English, Farsi, Japanese, Khmer, Korean, Punjabi, Russian, Spanish, Tagalog, and Vietnamese. For those without internet access or email access, you can call the COVID-19 hotline and they will assist with your MyTurn registration, which includes extensive language support and the ability to provide a third-party translator to an additional 250 languages. Anyone can call and you'll be able to be assisted irrespective of what language you speak. So if you have people in your family who speak languages other than English, please let them know that they can call and they will be supported. In addition, pharmacies across the state can administer the vaccine to the public as part of the federal retail pharmacy program. And your primary care doctor can also provide the vaccine. And there also may be additional clinics and or your county's public health department that may be setting up mobile clinics. Your employer may have some clinics. And so there are lots of places where you can be vaccinated. For more information, you can call your doctor's office or you can visit vaccinateall58.com.
If some younger couples are listening right now and they're thinking about starting a family, they're worried about fertility. Does the COVID vaccine affect fertility?
In the clinical trials, there were no fertility losses that were reported, nor have there been any in the millions of women who have received the vaccine. At this point, all of the major medical associations have recommended vaccination for women who are interested in becoming pregnant in the future or women who are currently pregnant.
Should a woman take the vaccine if she wants to get pregnant in the future?
The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, which is the major organization of obstetricians and gynecologists, recommends vaccination for all eligible people, who even those who are considering a future pregnancy. There's no evidence thus far that any vaccines, including COVID-19, cause fertility problems or cause problems for those who are trying to conceive.
Were people of color included in the trials and study of the vaccine?
That's a great question. Yes, they were. And in fact, on a personal note, my mother was involved in the Moderna vaccine trial, and she signed up specifically because she wanted Black women to be represented. The FDA always makes sure that when we're doing clinical research, especially now, that they are testing in people of different ages and races and ethnicities, as well as people who have pre-existing medical conditions, because we know that's the population of people in our country. And so we want to make sure that we are testing and that we understand what the impact will be for the people who live here. That is done to make sure that the vaccines are safe and effective for everyone. The participants in the vaccine trials have been closely monitored and continue to have ongoing monitoring right now. And they are a diverse group of people that includes lots of people of color, Black people, and people from various races and ethnicities and ages as well.
There's been a lot of dis and misinformation surrounding COVID-19. What else is California doing to educate and motivate those who are unsure about the vaccine, especially the ones in marginalized communities?
California has been doing a lot to really try to counter some of the misinformation that is being spread, and really is committed to making sure that vaccine distribution is based on science and that the information that's being shared is factual. California Department of Public Health actually started a public education campaign called Let's Get to Immunity under its Vaccinate All 58 effort. And that was really done to be able to make sure that there was factual information being provided to communities, especially those that are disproportionately affected by COVID-19. There's been an effort to put out, you know, educational materials through trusted messengers, included community-based organizations and local health jurisdictions and other state agency partnerships. When people have questions, it's really helpful to make sure that you go to myturn.ca.gov and check in with official and reputable sources to be able to get information. There's a lot of misinformation and, as you mentioned, disinformation that's happening and that's spreading around, things that are not rooted in science and things that are not actually facts. And you need to make sure you're looking at trusted information that actually is true to make sure that you are getting what you need to be able to make a decision about vaccination for yourself and for your family.
Well, believe it or not, we're out of time. But before we go, I want to say thanks to your mom for being part of the trials.
Absolutely. Yes, I appreciate her so much. She's my hero.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Dr. Flojan Kofer is the Senior Director of Policy for Public Health Advocates. For more information, you can go to myturn.ca.gov. You can call the COVID-19 hotline at 833-422-4255. And one more great website is vaccinateall58.com. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Kofer.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@odyssey.com, sacpsa@audacy.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.